Hello, and welcome to the County Conversations Podcast, brought to you by FACTS Institute for County Government, with support from the University of Florida, IFAS. I'm Eric Poole, Director of the Institute, and I'm happy to bring you our new federal podcast series. Each month, we sit down with the Legislative Director for the National Association of Counties, Aaron Hurley, to discuss some of the most important issues, policies, and legislation affecting Florida's counties. All of our conversations are videotaped via Zoom and can be viewed on the Studio 67 webpage under the Federal Policy banner. Thank you for tuning in and hope you enjoy the conversation. All right. Good morning, everybody. And good morning, Aaron Hurley from NACO. We are restarting our monthly NACO federal updates. And we put those on pause for a while because we had the NACO Legislative Conference and we wanted to make sure that Aaron had time to decompress after all that work. And she has agreed graciously to restart these for a couple of months until we get towards the summer where we have our annual conference and the NACO has their annual conference. So Aaron, thanks for coming on. And I'm going to turn it over to you just to give a quick update on what's going on in Washington.
Great. Thank you so much, Eric. Happy to be back. Good morning, everyone. Aaron Hurley, I'm the Director of Government Affairs here at NACO. So as Eric mentioned, I'm just going to talk to you all about some top issues that impact counties happening in Washington, D.C. right now. Kind of first and foremost is everything around funding the federal government. So many of you probably saw last week Congress was able to take the first step in funding one half of the federal government. So what that means is that the U.S. House and House of Representatives and U.S. Senate were able to come to an agreement, and then the president signed a minibus appropriations package. So what a minibus is that it actually funds the 6 out of the 12 total appropriations bills. So one half of the federal government was funded last week after the president signed that package into law. So what that does is it really just funds a handful of those federal agencies. So we're talking about like agriculture, commerce, justice, science, energy and water, transportation, housing and urban development. So that was all taken care of. Pretty much what that means is that all of these programs, it's a one-year authorization of funding for all of those programs. So we're kind of beyond those shorter term funding resolutions or funding stopgap bills, whatever you want to call it. Which we have had for the last 4 times when we're talking about government funding. So because we were able to get that first minibus package, so those first spending bills funded, since then, Congress has been in negotiations around funding those last 6 appropriations bills, deciding what those top line numbers look like. And they have until tomorrow, March 22nd, to actually do that before there is a partial government shutdown. The reason why they did this two-tiered approach is because those first 6 bills, those were kind of the quote-unquote easier bills that Congress was able to actually agree upon. There weren't as many policy riders included. There weren't as many provisions up for debate on that. So this March 22nd bill, there is, you know, a lot more riding on these. A lot more of varying positions and perspectives about what should be included in these bills. So that's all to say that there was some progress that happened on this the second minibus, so funding for the last 6 out of the 12 appropriations bills. The kind of major sticking point as to why lawmakers weren't able to come to an agreement on the package was specifically for the Homeland Security Department funding and provisions within that Homeland Security funding portion around the border wall, or like specifically funding for the border wall, more strict immigration policies. So that's really kind of what held up the negotiations. However, after House Republican leaders and the White House met over this last week and over the weekend, they were able to finally unveil legislative text late last night. In total, it would be a $1.2 trillion appropriations package for those 6 federal appropriations bills. So that's all good that they were able to get that out. So now in terms of next steps, what's actually going to be end up happening, because lawmakers are really trying to get out of Washington, D.C. and go back to their districts for recess by tomorrow, they are going to waive the traditional rule, which they have a 72-hour rule where it provides lawmakers the opportunity to review the legislation before voting on it. So what they're going to do, the House has waived that rule, saying, you know, you have less than 72 hours to review it. We need to be able to vote on this legislation before we hit the weekend. That's in the House. The Senate is a little bit different. The Senate has to follow a lot of like procedural hurdles and obstacles in order to actually vote on a bill. They're also trying to account for one of the senators, Susan Collins from Maine. She has to attend her mother's funeral on Saturday. So it looks like that vote will probably push off until Sunday. So what that means, if that ends up happening, is that we're looking at this funding package to not be signed by the president until likely Sunday. So there would be that 2-day lapse, which lawmakers are hoping that they'll be able to avoid, but ultimately it would be a 2-day lapse at the, you know, very worst possible point. We are expecting that it will clear the House and Senate. Really the only pushback right now I mentioned again is around kind of like the border immigration policies. The House Freedom Caucus did send a letter objecting to this appropriations package around those immigration policies specifically, but it kind of seems like at this point, is it really worth sending the letter if the government won't be funded, especially given that elections are coming up as well too. So that's where we are in terms of the appropriations and where we're at, which actually kind of brings me to the next topic that I wanted to talk about, which was around elections specifically. So this kind of appropriations battle has been unique in the fact that there has been a lot of tension around actually funding election security grants, which of course is huge, no matter whether it's an election year or not, but especially leading up to the 2024 general election. What NACO's been doing on our end has been pushing, especially House Republican members, to fund those elections at what they've previously been funded at, which is $75 million for election security grants. Those are also called HAVA grants, and that's for short for Help America Vote Act grants. So for the bill that was just released, ultimately they were ended up being cut by $20 million. So now they're funded at $55 million. So they're luckily not zeroed out, but just wanted to provide that update, just given the fact we are in an election year. You know, tensions are running high, especially around this topic, whether it be funding or around protection for election workers, which kind of course, has been bubbling up. And NACO has been keeping an eye on this, especially around doxing towards election officials, which means ultimately, right, providing personal information on the internet for the point of like these election workers or poll workers being harassed. So NACO's been focusing that on that specifically and trying to get legislation introduced around doxing and just kind of more general safety for election workers as well too. And then moving on to another kind of key item that NACO's been tracking is around broadband connectivity. So you all may be familiar with this program. It's called the Affordable Connectivity Program, or ACP for short. And this program was actually authorized under the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law. In short, what the ACP is that it provides internet service to low-income households at a discounted rate, at a major discounted rate. In order to actually be eligible to receive this discounted rate, a household has to be previously enrolled in some sort of federal public assistance program, whether that's a food stamp program or the federal welfare program, which is the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program, or TANF for short. Right now, there are 20 million households that are actually benefiting from the ACP all across the nation. Why this is such a huge topic for NACO right now is because the ACP, since it wasn't a one-time appropriations because of the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, it is quickly running out of money. And so all of those 20 million households would actually have an impact. I think there's something like an immediate impact. There would be like on 8 million households, something around that. So what NACO's really been pushing is that there is a recently introduced bill. It's bicameral, meaning that it's been introduced to both the House and Senate, and it is bipartisan. It's called the Affordable Connectivity Program Extension Act of 2024. What it would do is simply it would make sure that the ACP would be an annually appropriated program. So it would receive funding through the annual appropriations process, and it would pretty much become a permanent program. The bill would fund the ACP at $7 billion a year to make sure that those households would be able to stay on the ACP. And also, if there is additional uptake from other households joining, it would be able to cover those expenses as well. Obviously, it comes with a price tag, the $7 billion price tag. That's really the only thing that's holding it back. But it is really, really critical when we're thinking about even not just rural areas, it's urban areas that lack, you know, connectivity as well, and households that do not have connectivity or can't afford internet within their households. So we've really been pushing that bill forward. So that's a huge priority for us right now. The other area that we're looking at is mental health and behavioral health more generally. What we were hoping to do with these appropriations bills that have just been either passed or introduced is that we did want to include some very specific health provisions around mental and behavioral health, namely addressing the Medicaid Inmate Exclusion Policy, or MIEP for short, which what MIEP is pretty much if an individual is booked into jail before they're convicted of any sort of crime, they actually lose all of their federal health benefits. That's Medicaid, veterans benefits, you name it. And so, of course, it's a humane issue. An individual should not be losing these benefits when they're not convicted of a crime. But of course, the county is also subsidizing these health services. So that's one area. Another area is around the institutions of mental diseases, or the IMD exclusion, excuse me. And so what the IMD exclusion is that it does not allow a facility to have more than 16 beds when you're taking care of individuals with like substance use or mental health disorders. So those are our two primary goals that we were trying to insert into the appropriations package. Ultimately, we were not able to get those. We did get a little bit like a kind of a halfway deal with the Medicaid inmate exclusion policy, but we weren't able to get exactly what we wanted. And it also looks like Congress isn't going to be, of course, doing a larger healthcare package for the remainder of this year. Specifically, they were working to reauthorize something called the Support Act, which the Support Act expired back in September, on September 30th, and has not yet been reauthorized. And pretty much what the Support Act is that it was the largest investment of overdose prevention, support, and services back when it was first became law in 2018. Since it hasn't been reauthorized, there are programs that are getting run out of money. We are trying to insert both the MIEP and IMD provisions in there. But now, given the fact that Congress isn't going to be focused on for this appropriation cycle, it has been kind of punted into probably going to be worked on during the lame duck session, which the lame duck session is those several months after the next president gets elected. And so it's like November and December, and then we hit the new year and the president is sworn in. So during those 2 months, MAKO is going to be very, very heavily focused on getting that healthcare package across the finish line. There is bipartisan support for both of those items, among other areas that NACO is also looking into. So just wanted folks to be aware of that as well. And then I think the final item that I also wanted to mention, it's around the Treasury Obligation Interim Final Rule as it relates to the American Rescue Plan Act. This is around this Obligation Interim Final Rule is around the $65.1 billion pot of money that was allocated to all of the counties across the country under ARPA. The Obligation Interim Final Rule that the Department of Treasury came out with, pretty much what's happening there is that there has been no final rule released just yet. Some Republican senators on the Hill are working to overturn the Obligation Interim Final Rule, which would be really detrimental to counties and the flexibility that was granted in that interim final rule. So we are asking that counties reach out to their Republican senators, asking them to oppose this CRA, which is a Congressional Review Act, because of the unintended consequences that it would have on counties. So those are a couple of the items that we're tracking right now. Definitely many others, but just wanted to provide you all kind of with a glimpse of kind of our top priorities right now. I will also actually in the chat, I can share NACO's first analysis of all of the first set of the six appropriations bills that were signed into law a couple weeks ago. So that will give you a rundown of some of the major wins for counties. We got full funding for the payment in lieu of taxes. We were able to secure funding for rural broadband projects. We were also able to protect funding for different criminal justice grants as well that counties are directly eligible for, and a few other ones as well too. But those are the main items. Always happy to take questions at the end of this, or feel free to email me with any follow-up questions you may have. But Eric, I will turn it back over to you, and thank you as always for inviting me.
Thank you, Erin. I think lightning just knocked out my camera, but I can, as long as you can still hear me. I have a couple of questions, and I don't want to get too deep in the weeds in on policy, but on the six additional bills, appropriation bills that have to pass by tomorrow, are they passed separately, or do they do these in one big block? And can one of these be held up? So in other words, if Homeland Security is an issue because of immigration issues, you still have defense in there. Can they just put a pause on Homeland Security, or is that going to cause problems with TSA? And
yeah, Eric, that's a great question. So the Homeland Security bill, or portion of the bill, is part of the larger $1.2 trillion package. So they will need to vote on that portion of the package in order to get it across the finish line. It's kind of like they can't necessarily strip out the Homeland Security portion. I think the only alternative that was discussed in order to get the package across the finish line is that the Homeland Security, instead of a full year appropriation that they would have under this current package, is that the Homeland Security agency would only receive a short-term funding solution that could then be revisited. But the White House has noted that if there is only a stopgap, so a short-term funding solution for the Homeland Security Department, that is not enough to address the budgetary shortfalls that the agency currently has. So they do need to pass everything as is. The only other alternative is to do a short-term funding bill for the Homeland Security Department. And again, that there would be consequences in terms of, you know, what would actually happen if it was limited funding for the Homeland Security Department.
So does it look like there's consensus at this point? Are there any policy riders that were objected to by either party? And have those been worked out?
So honestly, it seems like at this point, it'll likely pass. Like I mentioned earlier, House Freedom Caucus members, they are concerned about the lack of funding for the border wall. The original package that House Republicans did introduce, there was $2 billion for the border wall. That was stripped out. However, Speaker Johnson has said that there is increased funding for technologies like along the border at the different border control, the border patrol stations. So he's saying, hey, you know, we got to weigh our options here. At least we were able to get this, even if we weren't able to get the $2 billion for the border wall. And they are really kind of looking at this as like a more political, like, you know, they're looking at the political landscape. Like, this would be pretty detrimental if they're unable to reach a consensus within the Republican Party with the elections coming up in November. So it looks like that they likely will be in agreement and would be able to pass something by this weekend.
And then one more sort of policy wonk question. So back in May of 23, mm-hmm. Former Speaker McCarthy and the White House worked out an issue on suspending the debt ceiling to, I think, 2025. Mm-hmm. And that was, I think, a kind of a tipping point for his tenure as Speaker. How does that play in with, aren't there some automatic sequestration triggers? And how does that all kind of play in? Is that debt ceiling suspension still in play?
Yeah. So what that happens is pretty much, so when these appropriation bills are coming out, what happens is that if the total amount goes above those limits that were set in place by the debt ceiling deal, then it would trigger exactly that, like the automatic recoupment of funds for different discretionary programs. And so what, how they decide if that happens or not is that the Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, they actually assess what the budgetary impact would be of these different appropriations bills. And, you know, if it falls in line with the debt ceiling deal, or if it doesn't, pretty much. Right now, there hasn't been any sort of concern over that per se, but we need to see exactly what CBO will come out with.
Great. That's a perfect explanation for something I didn't clearly understand. I did want to acknowledge that our federal chair, Commissioner Starkey, is on, and I don't know if she has any questions or just wants to wave and say hello, and if that's it.
Hey. I just wondered if there's going to be any movement on WIOA.
That's a great question, Commissioner Starkey. So WIOA, there was a bill that was introduced a couple weeks ago. I'm forgetting the exact date. There were a couple provisions in there that were of concern to NACO. It was specifically around funding and some additional requirements. Ultimately, the Senate hasn't determined if they're going to take up the House version of the bill. Senator Bernie Sanders also has some concerns with it. Right now, what we're looking at, I mean, given the fact that they're just about to finish fiscal year 2024 appropriations, they're also starting fiscal year 2025 appropriations this week. They've started holding hearings. And given the fact that the elections are coming up, it's likely that it's just going to be pushed for a little bit. And this isn't just a WIOA. We're also talking like the mental health package that I mentioned. We're talking the farm bill. That's kind of no end in sight at this point. So everything, to say the least, is a little bit up in the air right now.
Okay, I was going to ask you about the farm bill because I'm going to be with Representative Jordan tomorrow night and it looks like Saturday afternoon as well. I've got a friend who's got a company that's doing a robotic strawberry picker. It's very, very high tech, and Representative Jordan's very interested and others are interested in that technology due to the labor shortage in ag. So you're saying the farm bill is also stalled?
Yeah, the farm bill is definitely stalled. We're still trying to figure out exactly what the timing is looking like, but it won't be this spring. But I think, you know, when you're speaking with the congressman, I think ultimately what you could just say is, you know, you could reiterate what NACO's top priorities are, which is all around additional funding for rural development. Of course, protecting the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, as well as a few other items, which I can follow up with you via email, Commissioner.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I can send you kind of our top 10 priorities around that. So you can have that conversation with him.
What do you know about our efforts with the, and I always get the title wrong, but it has to do with the insurance for the inmates when, you know, how they lose their federal healthcare benefits. I think we got something passed where if you're a suspension state, the healthcare benefits are not canceled when you're arrested.
Yes. So we were able to get that in the package. So if you're a suspension state, exactly what you said, Commissioner, if you're a suspension state, so for folks on the line, just for some background information, with the Medicaid inmate exclusion policy that I mentioned earlier, MIEP, pretty much what is happening right now is that states can either be a suspension or terminate state when we're talking about federal health benefits.
Yeah.
And so when an individual is booked into jail. So with the kind of the win that we did get was exactly that, Commissioner, that you have the option to maintain those benefits.
Okay, because Florida is a cancellation state. So is there any chance we could just get it for all, or do we just have to work at the state level, Eric? And I don't know what that means to switch from a suspension, from a cancellation to a suspension. But my county took over the jail And we just at our last board meeting signed an $81 million healthcare contract for 5 years with a provider.
So what you can do, Commissioner, there's a process to go through that with CMS. So you can actually receive a waiver for that. But I can't speak to the state level part. That's more Eric's wheelhouse, of course. But
yeah,
I can send you that information when I send you the Farm Bill information as well.
Okay. Because I just wondered if I should talk to Representative Jordan about that. I don't know what committees he's on. I'll have to do a little research. But I know when I brought that up, the Senator Rubio and Senator Scott, they were both. Last year, Senator Scott wasn't so interested, but this year he was more interested in helping. And Senator Rubio definitely was helping, interested in helping.
Yeah, I think another thing, Commissioner, to bring up, and you know, whether it's with Congressman Jordan or the senators, I think another kind of crucial piece of this is whether it's your county or other counties within Florida, if you all have information pertaining to what your annual spending is when we're talking about like public health, like what is your public health annual spending budget in comparison to what your like overall general operating budget is for your counties, comparing those numbers to really demonstrate like, hey, this is the population of my county. This is our annual operating budget. And yet like, look at like the significant amount of money that we're spending on this specific population and how the county is subsidizing these expenses.
Yes, good idea. I will get that info. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Aaron, I think that's it. And just for the benefit of others, the WIA is the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act. And that's something that Commissioner Starkey is very passionate about. Aaron, thanks for all you do. Thanks for coming in and giving us an update on all the stuff that you guys are working, and appreciate all you do for Florida.
Absolutely. Thank you again for having me. Take care, everyone.
See you next month.
See ya.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.